Hello there, everyone. My name is Elijah Dew. This is South Tower Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation out of the South Tower in the Elgin, Texas. Today is August the 28th, 2025. It is the sixth day of Elul of 2029. We will start our sermon today with the two timely readings, number 28. Correction, one timely reading is number 28. Today's sermon is on the threshold of a new world and the site of the old. I shall read from the Mount of the Blessing, page 186, by Ellen G. White. Paragraphs you will notice are based on the scripture which says, "Give that not that which is holy unto the dogs." All right, what do we got here? It says, "For the Mount of Blessing 186, for the Yahshua here refers unto a class who have no desire to escape from the slavery of sin by the indulgence and the corrupt and vile. Their natures have become so degraded that they cling to the evil and will not be separated from it. For the servants of the Yahshua should not allow themselves to be hindered by those who would make the gospel, the teaching of the plan of salvation through the brother, the everlasting children of the Yahshua," Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 of the New and Living Way, "a matter of the contention and ridicule. Brother, the Savior never passed by one soul, however, sunken in sin, who was willing to receive the precious truth of the heaven. To the publicans and harlots, his words were the beginning of a new life. Beneath an appearance of the hatred and contempt, even beneath the crime and degradation, may be hidden a soul that the grace of the Yahshua will rescue to shine as a jewel in the Redeemer's crown. Here we see that in his statement, 'Give not that which is holy unto the dog,' Yahshua instructs his followers to abstain from the shine, to poke down any scripture truth, and to those who have no desire to be freed from sin. Regardless how fat one may have, or how far one may have fallen into sin, for Yahshua will not overlook even one soul who is willing to be helped and willing to accept and practice the truth. With this assurance, let us pray for an increased desire to escape from the slavery of sin. Indeed, the important thing is not how good or how bad we are or have been, but how susceptible and submissive unto the present truth we are now while it unfolds. For the real burden of our prayer should be that we catch a vision of the truth that makes free, if accepted, as the scroll unrolls. on the threshold of a new world and the site of the old is the name of our sermon, Vicki Hollis, February 15, 1947. The sermon is on the book of Micah. This chapter brings to our attention three divisions of the time in which three different conditions obtain on the earth. Well, the first condition is recorded in the first four verses, the second in verse 5:14, and the third in verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. Now let us begin our study with Micah 7:1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits as a great vintage of the vintage there is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. Something is likened unto a vintage after its fruit is gathered in. What is it? We will find the answer by the reading of Micah 7:2-6. For the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men, for they all lie in the waste for the blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly, for the prince asked it, and the judge he asked it for a reward, and the great man he uttered his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up, and the best of them is as a briar, the most upright, is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide, keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in the bosom. For the righteous, having been taken out of the world, and the wicked alone left in the world, his condition is depicted by a vintage that has been robbed of its fruit and left in a state of the loneliness and fear because of the total wickedness. This sifting takes place in the day that the Yahshua visits his watchman, that is, in the judgment day of the antitypical day of the atonement and the judgment of the living time in the 12th parabolic hour, and the day that he separates the wheat from the tares in the seventh day of the church, Matthew 13:30, and the wheat is the first fruit called the 144,000, and the tares are those wicked that are not even of the seed of Abraham, but have infiltrated the Adventist church where they did not belong, Matthew 13:30. For the good fish from the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48. And the sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:31-46. Micah 7:7-10. Therefore I will look unto the Yahshua. I will wait for the Yahweh of my salvation. My Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will hear me. Let's read that again, Micah 7:7-10. Therefore I will look unto the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, for I will wait for this Yahshua of my salvation by his blood. My Yahshua will hear me, my Redeemer, Savior, Yahshua. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fail. Now when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, for the Yahshua shall be a light unto me. For I will bear the indignation of the Yahshua, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. For he will bring me forth into the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Meaning I will actually see his righteousness in person. That's what it means to behold. Or maybe not necessarily so, after all. Maybe behold means I scarcely can see and understand his righteousness, because I understand his statutes and laws and his judgments, how to observe them and how to be sanctified by obedience unto them. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her that said unto me, where is the Yahweh thy father? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. These verses present the Yahshua's faithful people, the people under whom these prophecies have been unfolded, as having an enemy that bears a feminine designation, she. This she is questioning doubt for the Yahshua's presence among his people, the Son of Yahweh. She mocks him for their faith. Since these prophecies are now for the first time brought into the light, they constitute the message of the hour. And since upon us has been placed the burden of the carrying of the message unto the Spirit, and since upon us the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, quote-unquote shepherd's rod, has been placed with the burden of the carrying forth of the message unto this mother church of the SDA. And since she, SDA, is our enemy, as was the Jewish church to the apostolic church that Yahshua raised up after the cross and purified, he raised them up before, 3.5 years before the cross, but he sanctified them on the night of the Passover just before his crucifixion, closing out a 3.5 year ministry. And then after his resurrection, he raised up a purified kingdom of the section of the kingdom of the David, with Peter with the charge of the keys to the kingdom, with the possession of the keys to the kingdom, of the 11 apostles that made it through the crucifixion with Yahshua. Peter was the one that inherited the keys, because of his straightforward answer when Yahshua asked who the men think that I am. And he asked Peter, Peter said, Thou art the Son of Yahweh, the living Yahshua. He said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father only, which is in heaven. He revealed that truth to you. So because of this, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Okay, inspiration thus bears witness against her and pronounces her again. And what did Peter say? Whatever is spoken on earth is spoken in heaven. He said, you have also a more sure word of prophecy that you would do well to take heed until light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the star arises in our hearts, the day star. So let's continue reading. Then it shall come to pass that the Gentiles shall see the saints' righteousness and all things their glory, and they as a people shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yahshua shall name. Isaiah 62:2, Micah 7:11-12. In the day that thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even unto thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress, even unto the river, and from sea to sea. And from mountain to mountain, since this decree is removed in the day that the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, the purified church of the day that is here on earth, is restored. There's my word, restored. I love it. It is restored. In the day that the saints are fortified, which the decree has no effect, for the decree will have no effect on them in that day, declares the inspiration. There shall be a great gathering from Assyria. Oh, that's the house of Laban, the brother to Rebecca, the mother of Esau and Jacob. So in that day, declares inspiration, there shall be a great gathering from the Assyria and from the fortified cities, even from sea to sea. In other words, from the east coast of the United States, of the Atlantic Ocean, to across the water to the coast of Africa, that's from sea to sea, here in the eastern world, and mountain to mountain. And in the western world, it's from the west coast of the United States all the way into Asia and Russia and China and all those places on the western side. This message, therefore, is the same that precedes the harvest of the earth, with the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, with the judgment for the living, in the day that all of these things are to be restored. There's that word restored, past tense. Meaning they're going to be restored for probation purposes. Mark 9:12. Micah 7:13-14. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine inheritance, which shall dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. before these promises are fulfilled, though, this verse declares that the man is to be desolate. Was to be desolate and is to be desolate with the dispersion of the people, when the dispersion of the people would first take place. For the rod of the Asherah not only speaks, but it feeds as well. And what can it be if not meat in the due season? By that faithful servant in Matthew 24:45-7, the one that renders the fruits in their season, meat in due season, if not the message of the hour. For the people explain, the scriptures are those who dwell solitary in the woods in the midst of Carmel. Prophecy for this day and hour recommends a message which the rod contains and which Carmel puts out, none other. Micah 7:15. According unto the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, for I show unto him marvelous things. We are given the promise that the saints experience is a descendant under that of the Exodus movement, and it is just as they were led out of Egypt by the mighty hand of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, with the Moses. Were brought safely into the promised land, so shall it be now. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again for the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be left from the Assyrian. So the house of Laban, the land of Sheba, so there's going to be a remnant there that comes out of the house of Laban. And this is where we're at today here. Literally, we're in the land of Assyria. That's it for house of Laban. And we're in the country of the Lutherans, the German. First reformer out of the church in 1500, Martin Luther. We're looking for a remnant out of them. And all the reformed churches. We're looking for a remnant out of all the reformed churches. And that would be Ephesus, Smyrna, Martin Luther, Pergamos, John Knox, Presbyterian, and John Wesley Methodist, 1725, and Alexander Campbell, the Baptist, 1810. From Assyria and from Egypt, and Egypt is the land of Ham, in Africa, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four points of the earth, Isaiah 11:11-12. Micah 7:16-18. For the nations shall see and be confounded in all their might, for they shall lay their hand upon their mouth, the earth shall be dead. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like the worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Yahweh our Father, and shall fear because of thee, who is a Yahweh like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. The envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of the Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, that they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east, the Gedi. They shall lay their hand upon the Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them, and the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod, Isaiah 11:13-15. As great as shall be the day of the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, for the faithful, just that dreadful will it be for the unfaithful, Micah 7:19. For he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. For our Yahshua is wonderful indeed, for he retains not his anger, for he delights in mercy. He remembers not the sins of the penitent, for he casts them away where they cannot be found anymore. Micah 7:20. Thou wilt perform the truth unto Jacob, and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers in the days of old. For the inspiration affirms all of the Yahweh's promises, for they never fail. For the prophecies are sure. We are on the threshold of a new world, and the sight of the old. Soon there shall be a sin no more. Therefore are they before the throne of the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, for they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of the waters, and the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, Revelation 7:15-17. Even now, says the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, for I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day nor night. For ye that make mention of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Earth in prophecy is the United States proper. For the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, has sworn by his right hand, and that's the house of David is his right hand, and typical house of David, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine, for thee which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise Yahshua, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the court of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the harvest, gather out the stone, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say you unto the daughter of Zion, house of David, unto the house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, Daniel 2:44-45, that Yahshua sit upon the throne of, for thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is with him, and his work before him. So he comes with his word with him, and then once he gets there, his work is just begun for him to sit upon the throne of David and to lead the way for the harvesting of all the world, starting with the first fruits, 144,000 out of the Adventist church. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 62:6-12. We are indeed at the threshold of this new world and the side of the old, that our works and faith now answer unto the Yahshua, the most astounding question since the world began. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to this temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the host, but who may abide the day of his coming? And he shall stand when he appeareth, for he is like a refiner's star and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as a gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Asher an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be present unto the Asher, unto the Yahweh the Father, as in the days of the old, and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you to judge it, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false prayers, and against those that oppress the howling and his raging, for the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his lot, and fear not me, saith Yahshua the host, for I am the Yahshua, I change not, therefore your sons of the Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:1-6. And that's 144,000. He's talking about that are not consumed, the sons of Jacob. This brings the end of our study of this here Tommy Green. We'll close now with a song.